Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
You've chosen the podcast, I Low Moon Vagabonds. Vagabonds is the newest section of the campaign, and we are looking forward to entertaining you going forward.
By her, I'm going to try to see if I can remove the trap first.
I just thought I'd give you the opportunity to...
Okay. I am wise enough to do that.
Was she?
Oh, nice.
But she didn't. Okay, so, yes. You like, look back and you can see that just inside that door is a cylindrical mechanism that just rotates the pin up into place if somebody reaches their hand inside the handle to open the door. So it's pretty easy to just like open the door at the bottom and not trigger it. Okay, so you do. Inside is what looks to be like the shelves of a medicine cabinet. On the shelves of the medicine, on the shelves of the cabinet are just three. I may correct the number later because I have a prop, but I think it's three handles. Like, they look like door handles or cabinet handles. They're not door handles like you turn, they're like cabinet handles.
Are they wood?
They're made of probably brass or some silverish, shiny metal. They are.
Well, I have.
Very nicely crafted.
I have weaponsmithing, so.
You can tell that they are very nicely crafted. They're special in some way.
I'll put them in my bag.
You want to grab me with you?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to pull them out?
Yep. I'll put them out. Well, I'll make sure that there's not, like, a pressure trap underneath them or anything.
Okay, so you're going to check for traps first?
Yeah.
Okay, roll. Check traps.
24.
You do not see any traps on the shelf, inside the back, inside the cabinet, anything.
Well, I guess I'll put them in my bag.
Okay. So you notice as you pick them up that they do have the necessary bolt. So the bolt passes through a cabinet door or something like that, and then it screws into them. So the bolt would be fully hidden. That also speaks of high technology or high skill or high craftsmanship because, like, a lot of handles, you just screw them in from the front.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. But these are just designed to come from the inside and mount, so the screws would be completely hidden. Pretty nice. And because they were hidden in that little cabinet all by themselves, makes you think they could be extra special. Okay. What time we got here? We got a little time left. All right.
So three well-crafted metal knobs.
Yeah, I actually have a prop I'll give you.
Okay.
Or if you wind up carrying them.
I'll definitely carry them.
For the moment.
Yeah, for the moment, I'll definitely carry them.
Okay. All right. So Lotus and Nick and Iris all see him open the cabinet, see the handles, and take them out. Okay, and put them in his bag or whatever, wherever you put them. Okay? Holly, roll a d20. Yes, the snack cakes are fine. Yeah, snack cakes. You have Oreos. Anything that's over there you can have. Those handles, you'd want to look at them closer, but their craftsmanship is similar enough to the pieces that you carry for your father, and so you guess they might be ship parts, like made for cabinets aboard ship. And you've already begun to have some suspicions that the rings that you have might have some special properties. Or there might be something special about them. It's a pretty big deal to carry, to take the rings 1,000 miles across the world, you know, and for him to send his daughters, and he said it's important. And then now it sounds like maybe efforts have been made to stop the shipment, or stop you guys, or just kill you guys outright, or something. So there's something suspicious going on. Yeah. And so the handles may be related somehow to the gnome, to your dad, to... Anyway, you might like to get a look at them at some point. Right now you just put them away, and you guys are holding up all the wood. So can Iris get Hibiscus out from behind while they're still holding it? At some point you're going to have to come up with a way to get the last person out. That's going to be the problem.
I'm
trying. Okay, so what is your strength?
9.
Okay. So, I mean, you think you can get her out, but it's going to be work. You're not very strong. Do you want to help her? I know you're not very strong either, but the two of you together could get her out.
As soon as I'm done putting them in my bag, I'll help get her.
All right. So Umbar and Iris will squeeze Hibiscus past the edge.
As I'm walking past them, I'm like, then you can hold this for like 5 more minutes?
Of course.
You're doing great, guys.
Alright. And so one of you needs to make a dex check at half. Who's got the better dex? She's got 17. What do you got?
18.
Alright, so it's 9 or 9. Who's rolling?
Oh. 9 exactly.
Okay. Alright, so you managed to squeeze her past without her getting hurt. And you guys, all four of you are back at the stairs now. Which leaves the two of you holding up the Wyvern's Nest, or the bulk of it. So yeah, basically at this point you have somebody's going to have to hold it while somebody leaves, or you're going to have to come up with another kind of a plan.
One holder while she's...
Alright, he offers to hold it while you leave. You're not sure then how he's going to get out.
Can we, like, slowly walk? Walk down it, and then...
To get closer to the stairs?
Lay it down, yeah.
Yeah?
Or
in theory.
We both, like, wouldn't be... You know,
because
he's going to have to push it and then run.
Right. So she's proposing that the two of you work together and kind of walk along it and just keep shoving it to the left away from the stairs.
I suppose we could do it that way.
It sounds better than your idea, you think?
I'm just a big dummy.
Yep. Okay.
You know, my...
Although it was nice that he did...
Whatever, his wisdom is the same as yours.
Well, you're a little
dumb. Yes. The two not so wise and intelligent people are also the two strong people. That's not uncommon. No. Holding up
our
the nest.
Our brains are in a bicep.
So,
yep.
How long would I think it would take me to chop away so they can just kind of like the section underneath, just kind of like cut it out? Like this, so they could just toss that section away.
I mean, quite a while, probably. It's probably like 4 or 5 feet thick and made of like 150 or whatever. In any case, what you see is they're working toward the stairs. They're hand over handing it and pushing it, and he keeps pushing it to you, and you push it off, and so it starts to fall down on the opposite side of the room into the space that Lotus had previously created, and you get to the point where you just have to push past the last of it and get to the stairs. Both of you roll Ben Bar's lift gates one time, and if you're successful, you'll be out.
What is that?
Percentile dice level. So far, you've not really done that successfully. I was not helping.
60.
Yeah, dude.
What'd you roll? 73. Okay, alright. So basically what happens is that you've got this one big mound of stuff that's, unfortunately, it had fallen down previously against the wall, so now you're trying to pick it up and put it over, and as you do so, it basically falls apart, and it's falling down on you in bits. So there's branches that are falling, you get a scratch on your face, your shirt gets ripped again, a big clunk of a log hits you on the side of your ear, and you're not trapped, but as you're doing that, individual ones are cutting you up a little bit. To the point that Nick takes 1 point of damage, and Lotus takes 2. Okay? And at that point then, you manage to push past the last of it and get out. Now all 5 of you, including the unconscious Hibiscus, are all jammed at the top of the stairs in a too small space. So it's probably necessary for somebody to start going down.
I think
we're done. Okay. So 2 of you head down, and you can take Hibiscus with you for that matter. Somebody's gonna have to carry her down the stairs. I just want to throw her down the stairs.
That's probably wouldn't be down the stairs.
All right. So you're all down out of the lab. The only thing we didn't do is I did want to get a chance to search. I'm gonna do that real quick. And you did find something of interest.
Particularly interested in books.
Well, you don't really get to choose.
I know. So.
It's not a marketplace. All right. You found a ring.
Ooh. Is it?
But you can leave it if you're not interested.
Oh, no. He likes shiny things, too.
Yes. Who doesn't?
Is it the one that Frodo Baggins had?
My precious.
Hopefully not.
That would be terrifying.
Yeah.
Not the ring you want.
What part of it again?
It's,
Don't suck.
They think that.
3C2.
3C. Lord of the Rings. I've never actually watched them.
That part of that movie is boring.
They do think it's boring.
The movie's not boring.
I've never watched any of those movies all the way through. I've watched bits and pieces of every single one of them.
I've seen them all. I love them.
Yeah, I've never watched them all the way through.
It's not top 5 of the cult flicks or fantasy flicks that I love, but I do love them. They're very good. I really like Return of the King. I could skip the whole... I wish they would have just cut the whole Gollum thing out. I hate it. It's so slow. And, like, he gets so much screen time. And he's not an entertaining character at all.
And he's not really that important of a character.
Well, I mean...
From my understanding.
He tries
to get the ring. Well, he's really important at the end. They fight over the ring.
Yeah.
So he's important then. And he keeps trying to trick them all along the way. And, like... He's just, like, I would not have given him that much screen time. I would not. That, in fact, it's the worst part of the movies, the whole thing, is the time where he has all that screen time. He's arguing with himself.
Like, this is weird.
And then, because he's multi-personality disorder.
Yeah.
And then they don't kill him.
My precious.
He keeps betraying them, and they don't kill him. Like, adventurers are... I mean, I understand they're hobbits, and they feel bad for him and whatever, but
when you betray somebody
so many times... Slice the dude's throat and get it over with.
When you betray somebody so many times, at what point do you just
Because he's really just, like, tricky about it, but a couple times he gets caught betraying them, and they still...
No. Okay, at what point do you just...
Well, the D&D that we play, somebody would have killed him. I tell you that right now. Okay. So it is a simple, silver ring.
Just a simple silver ring.
It is a simple silver ring. It's a little too big for any of your fingers. It looks like it would fit on your thumb. But if it's magical, it might resize
if I
put it on.
I don't see any kind of markings or anything.
It's a simple silver ring. No markings, no gems, nothing.
Okay. I'll put it on my pinky.
Okay, it resizes to fit.
It's a good sign. Or a bad sign.
It's magical. Whether it's cursed or not, we don't know. But it's magical. Okay.
Good sign.
All right.
Or it's a bad sign.
That took place while you were searching the room previously. All right. So then the party back down the spiral staircase safely. Hibiscus is unconscious.
That potion at work?
Oh, I forgot to finish the potion. So you got to the point where you had poured about half of it in, and it didn't seem to be doing anything. Are you continuing?
Why not?
That's what I figured. Okay. So she had poured about half of it in, and it did not heal her.
So Hannah has a bless. Can she bless it?
I mean, she can bless it, but it won't. It's not going to wake her up.
Oh.
doesn't change the contents of the bottle.
Okay.
Uprising has something that can do that.
So you are back downstairs in the living room. So as far as things of interest here in the house, the only thing that that remains of interest is the tower, which you hadn't figured out how to get to it.
I did mention when I came back off.
You have to have either anatomy or healing proficiency to actually get hit points back.
I mean, like wrap them.
Yes, definitely. I mean, and clean your wounds and wrap your wounds is definitely something you want to do.
Change.
She could do healing on you though, new, because you took that damage in that room.
Okay.
So, you want to roll healing on her? We'll assume your guys are hanging out in the living room.
Could she do it with Natalie?
Definitely not hanging out where she rolled a natural 20.
Oh, okay.
Definitely not hanging out in the kitchen.
No, the kitchen's a little creepy.
Is it
a
d20?
Yep. So, roll a d20.
18. I want nothing to do with the spider.
18 is your maximum, so roll a d6. Divide by 2.
4.
So, you get 2 points back.
Okay.
Nick also got wounded, if you want to do him as well. You can only get back whatever you lost in that room.
Okay.
Which I think you lost 3, 2?
12.
2, I think.
Okay, successful. Go ahead. Roll your d6.
2.
You rolled a 2?
No,
so you get 1.
Nine.
You only get 1 back anyway.
He only got 1 point. He only had 1. I had 2.
Okay. I think he took 1 at the end on when it hit you on the ear. I think he took 1 before that. Didn't he take 1 before that? No?
No, I think...
He's back.
Anyway, you only get 1 back anyway.
Yeah, he's down to 9.
Yeah.
So
okay. Yeah, so you get 1 back. All right.
Is there any way we can, like, change?
Yep. So, I mean, you do anything you want. So, you're inside. It's safe here. In the living room, like, there's no windows to outside at all.
I will recommend to everyone that we head back to the ship.
So, heading back to the ship is a 3-mile journey through the jungle without a guide. Because the guide was the gnome. So, it is doable. I mean, you can navigate. You think you could find your way.
Are we going to try the tower?
Also, don't forget that the stairs between here and down are broken.
Oh.
So it's going to be, well, you have to go there, rig ropes or climb, and Hibiscus is unconscious. You have to go there, rig ropes or climb, get across the other side of the stairs, walk to the bottom of the mountain, cross the jungle, back to the ship.
How about this thing?
Can we lay her in the bed, maybe?
Yeah, if she sleeps for 6 hours, she'll probably come to consciousness.
Why don't we lay her in the bed?
Do you think, what time of day is it?
It's evening.
So it's going to be getting dark.
It'll get dark. It probably would get dark before you get back to the ship.
Okay, so then
yeah. Yeah, there are actually 4 of them.
Then maybe eat.
So rest. Eat.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will recommend to everyone that since it's going to be getting dark and we shouldn't travel in an unknown jungle while it's dark, we should rest here for the night, wait till daybreak, let people get healed. And I'm gonna go check out this tower.
If all of the clerics, like if Anne and Iris sleep 4 hours, they can get first level spells back, which would give you cure light.
Well, Haley has it too, right?
Spells back too.
Yeah.
Haley would have that too.
Yeah, Iris could sleep 4 hours and then she could get her cure lights back, for example. So basically, if you guys stayed here for 6 hours, which would only be, I mean, it'd still be the middle of the night.
So
at that
they
point,
rest,
then everybody could probably be pretty close to the
hole. You said 3 could fit in the bed. They could rest there. I could try to cook.
I have my hammock.
Yep.
How hot's the pan for that?
You could probably
there's some in the kitchen.
There's some in the kitchen, yep.
Was there food in there you said you got?
There really wasn't.
Now,
I think you guys had some... But I think you also gave some off on the ship.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could just take a couple of days' rations and everybody could eat enough not to be hungry. Spread it around.
I gave all the apples away, so I don't have any.
Yeah. Also, you did see, you didn't collect it at the time because it wasn't convenient, but you saw a small crate that looked like it was crackers in the room upstairs. Somebody could get that. And then there was a small cask of something. It might have been water, ale, whatever. And you got water in the sink. So you can make it work is the point. You won't have to go hungry.
Okay.
We got 14.
Also, say again.
We got 14 rations.
She said she has three.
In your backpack. Okay.
She has 3 meals.
There you go. So if you use fresh meals and if somebody can cook, you could make dinner, basically.
I don't know. How do you know you can cook?
It would be a skill. You don't have it because you already looked. Somebody else might have it. I don't know.
I thought someone did.
I think somebody was cooking, but they did. Oh, Umbar was cooking, but he didn't actually have the skill.
Yep, I was cooking, but I don't know what I'm doing.
So we're going to fast forward a little bit because we're running low on time. So
I was interested in trying to find a way to eat in the town before it got dark.
So this is to be continued? Okay.
No, we're not stopping. We're going to stop soon, but not yet. Okay, so that's an option. If you want to go out, right now the only way of that you know of to get to the tower would be to go out via the roof and cross over to it. But you could explore around that side of the house and see.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. I was going to go out and see if there was another way, a safer way to climb.
Also, considering everybody here can see in the dark, mm-hmm. daytime, nighttime doesn't really matter much. You could take the rest first, everybody get their spells back, and then go for the tower.
Yeah.
Go to the tower in the middle of the night. As long as nothing goes south, then you can leave at daybreak to go back down.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Okay, so we're going to go 4 hours sleep to start with. Then spellcasters can replace their spells, except for Hibiscus, because she's still unconscious at that time.
How much sleep
did she need before she'd be awake at 6 hours, but the thing is, once they get cure lights, they could heal her.
Oh, okay.
No, and you're gonna want to use as many cure lights as you can to get everybody up to close to full before you go do whatever.
The jungle, yeah.
Yeah.
Before we rest, I'm gonna pretend I'm reading that book.
You can look at your scroll.
That scroll.
Yep. Alright. So on your spells, how many first level spells do you get? Three?
Where's that?
So you have the list of spells. You said you had Bless. I think Magic Stone and Command. So is that three?
Command. Well, Invisibility is Smart God. She has four commands. It says Magic Stone and Bless. Where would this be?
Command.
So I'm dressed. How much hit
points? She got six.
A full night's rest gets you 2 hit points.
So she's a first level cleric. What's your wisdom?
So where I was.
Her wisdom is 18.
Okay, so she should have three spells.
To get the two.
She picks three?
She picks three.
So now
because you're resting, you can get one, two, or three cure lights if you wanted to. But then you might want to get something else as well. Right? So healing isn't the only thing you can do. But bottom line is you're going to sleep 4 hours, then you can pick any three spells off your list. And then write down what three spells you want. I would, at this point, you've got people pretty beat up. I would recommend.
Healing.
Yep, I got paper somewhere. Anyway, I would recommend to get at least probably one or two cure lights because a lot of people are pretty beat up.
To get the 2 hours.
Yeah, and then if you're going through a jungle, you never.
Is that a full 8 hour rest or?
It's gonna be goblins, trolls.
Yeah. If you can think of a monster, it's in this game. Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095. Yeah, that's where the Demogorgon came from, was going to be. I don't run them, but they are in the 5e books.
Would I think if I studied this book enough, I could start figuring out what it says?
I can read different languages.
Which book are you
talking about? It's the ancient book that's written in ancient Yapi. He doesn't speak. It's the one that he got it as a gift from Finger.
You don't know what you probably not without some assistance.
Okay.
Not without something to cross reference with. You just don't have a point of reference.
Okay.
You might get some of like code, deciphering code kind of thing. Like, very small words would be A and the of, something like that. You might get tiny phrases, but you're not going to get any real meaning unless you have something to cross reference with.
Okay. What is invisibility to undead?
So, if you're fighting zombies or skeletons, or whatever, you cast that spell, they can't see you.
How many hours of sleep do you need to get the 2 hit points?
You get 2 hit points, that's 6 hours.
Six.
Okay, that's what I thought.
She has six cure lights.
So we have, if we get 6 hours of rest, which is perfectly doable.
Three spells per day. That's just,
that's what
I'm doing. I'm resting 6 hours. I'm sleeping in minimum of 6 hours.
Number 6 and number 11 and number 16.
So
is that what you want to do?
I would take it off right maybe for your life.
No, you always for them they have to do it.
It turns out not to be enough.
We just get their spells back.
Memorize it.
Yeah, so it'll be a number of hours to get her spell
one. Even if she gets healed, she's gonna be at zero. So she's gonna be one minimum.
One step closer to my full.
Where what's your expense at right now?
I think she's the front line fighter.
Five. Four. So Xavier has gotten his luck, she'll be fine because sleeping. Of that. What's your
I'm at four. I total's nine.
Top nine.
So he needs a cure light minimum, maybe two.
After we rest, I'll be full.
What's Lewis at?
I'm full.
Once we rest, if I rest 6 hours, I can get it.
Right. So here's the thing. If you sleep 4 hours and you haven't memorized, you won't get the 2 points.
Oh, no, I'm sleeping 6 hours.
So we're sleeping 6 hours. Okay. So let's just say that. Everybody sleeps 6 hours. Everybody gets 2 hit points from sleeping 6 hours. Okay. So that includes you, which means you're on the verge of unconsciousness now because you're at zero, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm at six, so I have 3 more days.
Which means you could pray. You can pray on the verge of your consciousness. You'll just fall asleep a lot. So it'll take you a lot longer than normal. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's the best you got because
Kiesel chips.
They can't heal you until they get their spells.
All right. Trying to figure out how many spells.
You gotta try these. I gotta buy more of them.
Are they hot?
Yeah.
I knew it.
I did notice this box back here that's been hanging out for
a couple of those. I wanted to try those. That brown box right there is full of all the things that you're digging out from behind the table right now.
I guess they're complicated.
No, it needs to come out anyway.
It's empty.
Okay, gotta hurry. That's what I said. $2 for $3 at the grocery store on Broadway because they expire like in 2 days. Well, not expire, but use by date. Okay, so now, are you going to try to pray? Okay, so it isn't easy. This is how it works. You're going to roll pray for 15 minutes. And you roll 15d6, and every time you rolled even, you spent that minute unconscious, so you didn't get it done. Basically, you need more d6. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13, 40, 15. Okay, here we go. So you're gonna roll these. You pray for 15 minutes, and every even one means you were actually unconscious during that minute. And
they're all going to be even.
Oh, jeez.
Just roll all those.
Oh, my goodness. That would be so hilarious.
Oh, one roll over here.
Power.
That's two.
Now, re-roll this one. It almost worked. For weight. That's a lot of even numbers. For weight. Okay. So after 15 minutes, you've managed to pray.
That's a pretty good average.
Without an eye. That's good. So you managed to pray for 8 minutes out of the 15. Okay? So then you're going to try again.
That's over half.
So let's see. Try, if you roll really super well, you could do it in 7 minutes. So that's not good. So we'll do this. Here's 11 minutes. Try that.
One. It's underneath the chair.
3, 4, 5. Yes, you're at 14 minutes. You need one more to get your first spell back. So, try 3. Got it. All right, so pick one spell, and you have it back. That's how it works. It took you about 25 minutes.
I mean, pure light.
No, I don't know. Can't everybody take a bunch of pure lights, and all we'll have is healing.
Do you have healing?
Some healing is good. At first level, if you have 3 spells, it is wise for one of them to be cure light at least.
How many spells do I get? having an issue finding it.
Should be three.
I'll try.
One plus wisdom bonus.
So, because I have an 18 wisdom, so that gives me
two bursts. One plus
jalapeno ranch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are actually pretty good.
Ooh. There's salsa in the fridge.
What about two cantrips?
So cantrips replace your first level spells. So if you want to have cantrips, you have four per one.
If
you give up one of your first level spells, you can get four cantrips. Okay. So for the sake of the story, we're going to say one of you guys, when you finish... pick who wants to cast a Cure Light Wounds on Hibiscus. Iris will. All right, roll a d8.
Oh, no!
That's
not what I wanted to do. Come back.
This one.
No, that's a d12.
Okay.
Yep.
I got a 1.
Okay, so now you're at 1, and you stop passing out.
Yay!
How many first level spells do you get? What's your wisdom?
16.
Okay, so you get 3. So you were most of the way through your second spell when she came and healed you, and then after that you stop passing out and you get your third spell. So you can pick all 3 of your spells. Okay? So we're going to be at about 7 hours. Everyone's gotten 6 hours sleep, plus everyone's got a chance to get their spell. Look at the scroll, so it's 15 minutes to get a basic idea of what's there, but you won't necessarily know what the spell is. You'll just say, well, it's an offensive spell, or it's a miscellaneous spell. It's higher level than I can cast, something like that. If you spend an hour, if it's of a level that you can cast, then you can roll to see if you know that spell or not.
Okay.
So first of all, you had to sleep for 6 hours, then 15 minutes to get your one spell back in memory. Okay, so did you take sleep again? So you get to replace one spell. If you for 15 minutes, you can replace one spell.
I'll keep
sleep. Okay, so you got that back. And then you look at the scroll.
Okay.
And so you're at 6 hours and 15 minutes right there. Okay, so if you, let's say you spend 15 minutes to start with, and we'll see what you see. Okay? All right.
So could I have taken 4 hours of sleep instead of 6?
You could.
I'm at full.
You were already at full previously? Yes, so you could have done that. Yep. So you took 4 hours. You were only 4 hours, 15 minutes then.
Okay.
So now you've got more time to
study the
to study it. Yep. The scroll.
Yeah,
yep.
If you want to take the hour.
So you peruse it and you can see that it appears to have 4 spells on it.
Okay.
Two that are a little smaller, two that are a little bigger.
Okay.
All right. Spend 15. So you can pretty much guarantee if some are smaller and some are bigger, the bigger ones are too big for you.
Okay.
Because you only can use cantrips or first level spells. That's it.
Okay.
All right. So you look at one of the smaller ones to see if it's one maybe that you already know. All right. Or if it's one that you could learn. You spend 15 minutes doing that. Okay. So it is, it's a miscellaneous spell, so it's not a weapon, it's not something that hurts somebody, and it's not something that heals somebody. It is not a spell that you know.
Okay.
That's what you learn in 15 minutes. Then you can try to spend the rest of the 45 minutes and actually try to know it,
yeah.
Or you could spend 15 minutes and look at the other one. You're going to have to do it someday, and you have the time right now. Okay. So then you look at the other one. Okay. It is also a miscellaneous spell, and it is also one that you do not know. So it's going to be either or. They're both going to be, they're the useful type of spell. They're going to do something that's not going to hurt people or heal you.
Okay, I'll take a stab at it.
Okay, do you want the first one or the second one?
Probably the first one.
Okay, you probably have time to do them both, really.
Yeah, I can try.
Okay, now, if you fail this roll, which is what's likely to happen because you're really crappy at this.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you still have the spell, but the only way that you'll kind of know what it is, but the only way you'll be able to cast it is with read magic.
Okay.
You won't be able to ever memorize it.
Okay.
Okay. So go ahead and roll percentile dice. And you need the 2d10s. Yep. And you need a lower number.
84.
Okay, so you failed to know it. But you know that it is, it's a spell that slows you down when you're falling.
Okay.
So it's the kind of thing that can save your life. Which also means it's probably never going to be useful with Read Magic, because you won't have time to pull out your book, cast Read Magic, and cast the spell before you hit the ground. So it's probably not going to work like that. Okay. Here's the down, here's the upside. It's probably worth 500 to 600 gold pieces.
Oh, wow.
So you could just sell it.
Okay.
And that's what would be your normal mode of thinking. If you find a spell that you can use that with Read Magic would be useful, you might keep it. But once you, if you do it with Read Magic, and it disappears. There goes 500 gold.
You know? Right.
So it, selling them can be, less. Yeah, exactly. Money is big. So when you get enough experience to train for your level, you have to pay somebody to train you.
Okay.
And it's not cheap. It tends to run, at first level, you're probably talking about 1,000 gold pieces. So each person is going to have to pay that. And it's for each class. You're going to have to pay 3,000, one per fighter, one per mage, and one per thief. But getting money is a good thing.
Okay.
Okay? All right, so then the other one, you look at it, by this time, they're awake and praying.
Okay.
You see her, she's awake, and she's passing out. Like she's like, oh, I forgot which one it is. Oh, please bless me. I'm feeling terrible, but please give me spells. Where was I? It's like, that's what's going on with her for the first, like, 25 minutes. Yeah. Okay. So go ahead and roll percentile dice. You're looking for a low number.
52.
Check on your intelligence. I don't, that might be right there.
10
says, plus 8. Keep going out to the right. There's a number that says chance to know spells.
Percent?
Yeah, it's a percent number.
It's
45. 45,
so that's a fail then.
Okay.
Alright, so this spell could be useful with Read Magic, but it's also worth quite a bit of money. It's called Dancing Lights.
Okay.
And so it can be cast two different ways. One way is to make like torch lights that float around, and you can control where they go.
Oh, cool.
So that's useful. Or another way is to make like a 3-foot tall glowing man of light who will walk where you tell him to walk.
That sounds pretty awesome.
So either one of those are neat things. Unfortunately, you did not learn the pattern, so you can't memorize it. But you could cast it with Read Magic out of your book one time.
Okay.
And you could probably sell it for 500 or 600 gold. Okay. All right. Yes, everyone needs spells and patterns.
You said how much? 45 or 11?
So it'll depend on the market, like that, but it's probably 500-600 gold each.
Okay.
So that it can be more.
That like, scroll could be
in the right place.
Over 1,000 gold.
The scroll right is place. Definitely worth over 1,000 gold because those two spells.
Spells.
Those two other spells that are more powerful. Now you can. You're at the end of the time. They're awake. They're finishing up praying, but you could still spend 15 minutes and look at either or both of those other two spells, and you can roll to know them even though you can't yet memorize them.
Okay, I guess I can do that.
Okay, so 15 minutes on the first one. I'll give you a gist of it. Okay, we'll do both of those first thing. But to roll to know them, you would take an hour, and if you do 15 minutes on each and then an hour on one, everybody will be waiting on you. They'll all be totally done.
Yeah, no.
So you just want to do the 15 minutes, and see what they look like?
Just to see what they are.
Okay, that's better. Okay. So. Okay. Okay. So it is a second level spell, which means you can't memorize it yet, even if you knew it. So there's no rush to learn it, right? Which also means it's worth double the money. So it's probably worth somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 gold, quite a bit of money. It is a miscellaneous spell.
Okay.
But it does seem to have a hint of defensive overtones. Like there could be a way it could be used defensively.
Okay.
Maybe even offensively.
So okay. You, I roll these two again?
No.
Oh,
well, no, you don't have to roll to get the gist.
Okay.
You don't have to roll for that. Okay. And then the last one that's on there, is a second level spell, and it is offensive in nature. It's okay. A combat spell.
Okay.
So to try to know them, you'd have to spend an hour on them, and then you can know them, even though you can't yet memorize them. You can do that with any level of spell. Like, even if you bought a fifth level spell today, you can try to learn the pattern. You just go, well, there's no room in my head for this. It's too big, too complex for me to memorize it. Knowing something and memorizing it is way different. Like, we know the Bible,
right.
But we don't have whole books of the Bible memorized.
Right.
For example, it's like that. Okay?
Can you still cast off the scroll room or no?
Yes, you can use Read Magic to cast it even if you don't know it.
I do have that.
Yeah, so you could memorize, like, tomorrow or the next time you sleep, you could memorize Read Magic, and you could cast any of those four spells.
Okay.
Now, if you cast the ones that you haven't spent the hour on yet, you wouldn't know what you were going to get until you started casting it. And then you could, like, oh, wait, crud, I'm doing something I don't want to do. You could abort, but you'd lose it. It'd be gone.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, I'm casting Fireball inside this cave.
If you don't spend that hour to see if you can know it, then you really won't know what it can do. Basically, you're looking at individual runes and phrases and seeing what they do and figuring it out. That's what you do. You're not good at it. Lotus is not good at it. That's not her big thing.
I'm not intelligent either.
That's why. That's why you're not good at it. But you're studying, and you're a lifetime learner, and so eventually you could get to the point of being very, very, very smart. You could increase Lotus's IQ to be like 150, 160 over time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you'll have to play the character for a while and build that up over time. And every day you're supposed to spend 2 hours studying other topics or whatever. To improve your brain. So that's part of lifetime learning.
I have 3 different ones that I have to level up, so.
Yeah, it's going to take time. Yep. But you got a lot of skills. Okay, so we are going to stop here. You've rested the 6 hours. You got the healing. Let's do the healing real quick. All right, so we know Nick is beat up pretty good still. Does anyone want to cast a cure light on him? Okay, you cast one already. How many did you take?
Two.
So does anybody else have more than one that they would want to cast one? You have two or more?
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to cast one on him? Okay. Because what happens is if you get down to where only one person has healing left and that person goes unconscious, then you're in that same spot you're in before where the only person who can heal is the person that's unconscious. So you want to try to keep the cure light spread out if you can. So go ahead and roll a d8. She has to borrow a d8. It's the one she's missing. I'm going to give you a d8 before we go home. Don't let me forget.
Is this the
D8?
Yeah.
Yes.
Seven.
Seven. So I think you're full.
Yeah.
You can only go to your max.
Nine.
All right. So.
Three. I need threes.
Four. Yep. There we go. He's at max.
He feels great.
All right. Who else? So Nick is full. Lotus is full. Iris is full. Where's Anne at?
She's full.
You're full. That only leaves Hibiscus.
I can heal her.
Are you at full?
I'm not
a fool. She's definitely not a fool. Alright, so who has cure lights left? You have one cure light left, you have one cure light left. Do you have a cure light?
Yeah.
How many did you take? One or two?
One.
Just one. Alright, so somebody's going to not have one in memory. Who wants to do it? Alright, Iris will cast it on Hibiscus. Go ahead.
What
one do I need? D8. Need a good roll because she's pretty beat up. So.
I got three.
Three is better than nothing. Take three. Alright, so now you're at four. So. If you weren't going to fight tomorrow, and the next time you sleep 6 hours, and as long as she's tending your wounds, you'll be at full. But if you're going to fight, you might want to be at full now. So that's up to you guys. What you want to do with that? You want to leave her down 2 hit points, or just want to cast another cure light?
When we came up here, would I have seen anything that could cause severe opposition?
So there was a whole conversation about the fact that there are natives that live on the island.
Okay,
and They have a problem with people who come to the island. They do not have a problem with the gnome.
Are they cannibals?
He didn't specify, but it didn't seem like that.
Okay. Wait, what did they eat?
He basically said, he basically implied that they're very suspicious of strangers and they might attack like people they don't know or whatever, but that he and his brother never had trouble with them. That's what he said.
Maybe they'll take a treaty.
Yeah. Well, now you don't have the gnome with you. So, although someone might be able to disguise themselves as the gnome or something, but otherwise you don't really you don't have the gnome with you. So,
I have disguise,
but I don't think I'm short of it.
No, you can use your talent to disguise on other people as well. So, and actually, you can use your talent to disguise to look shorter. How tall was he? I think he was like 4'2". So you are 5'3". You could probably get yourself to looking about down to maybe a couple inches taller than him. You could pass for him. You can decrease your height by about 10 inches.
So when we try to leave, I'll
try to look like them. All right, we'll deal with, so we'll deal with that when the time comes. Okay, so a couple things real quick. First of all, I'm going to give you experience. So you're going to need to write this down on your experience part of your character sheet, which is a box on the back usually, I think. Looks like a box. Yep, there you go. Goes in the box on the back.
Set of box.
Oh, I see.
This, yeah, the only thing that actually is a square, I think, though. Okay, well, I do not like that background at all. That's terrible. Like, why would Google do that to me? Okay, I'm having trouble with my... I'm going to kill the music. It's going to get less exciting. Suspenseful music of this exploring this guy's deserted house. Check out Things Were Different Back Then, the origin story of Lord Victor, told from a certain point of view. You have a what?
A boot pocket.
A blue pocket?
Boot.
A boot pocket, yes. A boot pocket, yes. Yes, you do.
Good thing for a knife.
The only thing I have in my
baby knife.
Anything else you want to put?
An S sword.
Baby knife.
But I cool stuff in boot pockets.
What's iron planes? Is that what it says?
Iron filings.
Filings.
So they're little bits of metal. They're useful for a variety of, like, detecting traps. You can use them for things like that. You can use them for, you can use them for fingerprinting, but you probably wouldn't do that. But a variety of things you can use them for. Sheets. That's what I need.
I'm neutral.
I'm sorry, I'm opening my spreadsheet for experience.
I think I'm okay.
It does dawn on us at one point as we're resting that there is a war dog somewhere that's walking around.
Yeah.
It's at the...
In town.
It's in town.
Probably hunting wanderers. People just wandering around at night and eating by
and hopefully anything with innocence.
So kind of somewhat undefeatable war dog.
So funny thing about illusionists, when they die, everything they created that they made real goes away.
But theoretically, until they die, it doesn't.
Yeah.
So is back in town just eating people?
Yeah, so
didn't seem nice, so it's probably not.
We had an illusionist traveling with the upright party for a while.
I had trouble finding my spreadsheet for some reason, but I got it now. Alright, you guys are vagabonds, right?
A tower at an inn for our mage. And then he died. I'm like, could you imagine if somebody was sleeping in that tower and it just...
The name of our group.
It just ceased to exist.
Alright.
We all have different...
We also determined when Bezor died that a lot of people went broke.
It's not on your sheet.
Because he created a lot of gems.
What we call this segment of the campaign.
Okay. Bezor created a lot of gems, so we're like, somewhere in the world, someone just went massively broke.
I still have three.
Oh yeah, we could have done that. Could have counted the pouches. Divvied up the coins.
The spider you guys killed was worth quite a bit. Pretty tough dude. You never got to use this big whammy attack. Get a poison bite. It's pretty ferocious. The little ones had poison too.
I was going to use my 2D illusion to put up a wall on the ceiling. And then I got shot.
Yeah.
That was from her.
So far, I'm pretty sure that more people have been hit by friendly fire in this party than enemy missile fire.
Yeah, I don't think
very many people have done any shooting at you.
That's the first time I've gotten hit.
I got hit by everyone. You know what?
Lotus has been the brunt end of friendly fire.
I'm actually thinking, but now I think in the bar fight.
Yeah, Natalie shot her.
I shot her.
You shot her once.
I shot her too. Hannah hit me with a stone.
Yeah, she did a thing.
Yeah,
like,
I got hit.
You're like a magnet to friendly fire.
Somehow still get back up. I'm pretty sure I hit Keyshawn too. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you hit Keyshawn too.
Keyshawn kept saying, like, I don't trust you. Because I did that. It was like, it was joking. He was like, I would never trust you with a weapon around me. It's a game. You just roll.
Okay, so here we go. The, alright. So, the number has some components, and I just want to explain it real quick. Alright, so basically you get experience for monsters that you kill. When monsters have special abilities, you get more experience. When they have a lot of hit points, you get more experience. That kind of thing. So basically you get, the way the chart works is that, like, you kill the Wyvern. A Wyvern's a pretty powerful monster for a first level party. And then it has a very powerful attack in that if it hits you with your tail and its tail and you fail to save, you die. That's an extraordinary ability that can kill even a higher level character really quickly, that kind of thing. So he's worth a lot of experience. The spiders, low hit dice, low experience, but they have a decent ability, so they're worth less. Like that. That's how that works. And then it all adds together. Everybody's experience goes in the same pot. And we divide the experience out by everybody that participated in or took threat in any way. So, for example, let's say the party gets in a huge fight in the inn, and somebody's upstairs sleeping in their bed. If that person that's upstairs sleeping in their bed has no threat, like there's no way the fight could involve them, bring them into it, or come up over there, something like that, then they wouldn't get any experience for that. So if you're not involved in the fight, you don't get experience for it. But if you're involved and have threat, even if, let's say, you wait with the horses, the party goes in the cave, they do a big fight in the party in the cave, but because you could be drawn into it at any time, you would still get a full share. So there's nothing wrong with, like, staying by the stairs, for example. That does not hurt your experience or being out in the hallway. Doesn't hurt you because you still have the full threat, even though you might not take the hits, right? So everybody gets a full share in that regard. So if you have NPCs, an NPC, which both these characters are being considered NPCs at the moment, they get a half share. So we have two NPCs, that counts as one. So if we take the total number of experience, we divide it by the six of you, plus one is seven, so we divide it by seven, and that's your share, okay? Then there's a thing called role-playing experience. So role-playing experience is when you play something about your character, or really everything about your character, the way your character is. Yeah, say you develop a habit. You say, well, my character really doesn't like spiders. I forgot how, you know, they're really creeped out by spiders. You put that on your character sheet, and then every time spiders come up or could come up, you role play the fact that your character really hates spiders. Then that adds to your role playing experience. The way role playing experience is, you get assigned something between 0 and 0.25. Okay, so 0.25. At first level, that means you could get 25% additional experience on top of whatever you got. So you got 1,000 experience, you get an extra 250 because you role played your character well. Okay.
First level is a lot.
Which at first level really adds up fast. You might get experience like 2-3 times, and you're getting 5,000 experience, but because you're getting 0.2, let's say, you get an extra 1,000. That's a lot. It's more, so you get more experience from, at this level, you're going to get more from role playing than you are from monsters. If that makes any sense. But then you also get experience for gold, value of things. So, for example, let's say you found those pouches. So we can, by the way, we can assume that during your break somebody counted the pouches. And then every gold piece is one experience. So because we have 7 party members, if you get 7 gold, everybody's going to get one additional experience divided out. But if you get 1,000 gold, everybody's going to get like 150 more, right? 140 some more. So like that. So don't, like, just fight the monsters and don't take the gold. Especially because that's going to come back to bite you later when you have to buy training. Okay? Because training costs money. So you want to kind of be, so like you defeated the spiders, I'm going to give you a few tips. One of them is you defeated the spiders. Well, other people died to those spiders. So when other people died to those spiders, they left behind their personal belongings when they died. So you think, well, we killed spiders. Let's see if they had any stuff. That's how it works. Right? Same thing with, like, you fought in the inn room and somebody went around snatching up the purses on the people that you defeated. That's semi-legit. It's fine. Okay. You know, to do that.
Well, thieves, though.
Yeah, especially for thieves. Right. So that's how that works. So think about when you defeat, so a monster, like those spiders, the value of the treasure that you found in their nest was worth way more than they were. So like the total value of that combat is maybe 1,500 or 1,200 experience total. If you find just like a plus one short sword and figure out how it works, that's like 1,000 experience. So it's, you gotta use those items like that longsword you found in that room. If it's magical, if you learn how to use it, you're gonna get somewhere between 250 and 5,000 experience just for learning how to use it now that it's magical.
If you use it 3 times in combat,
no. Yeah, if you use it 3 times in a combat, I'll tell you the bonuses, and if that's all it has, then you'll get the experience right then. Free experience. The spells that you found. If you choose to sell those spells, like, you could right now, I would allow you to do this if you want to. You can say, well, those 2 spells that I didn't know, I'm going to just treat them as treasure. So I'm going to sell them as soon as I can. And if that's the decision you make, then they're just treasure. And that means that would be an extra 1,000 experience points that would go in the party's pool and everybody would divide that out. But then when the time comes, you have to sell them. You can't hang on to them at that point. Right. Or I would like trade it off. Like later you find spells that you decide you're going to keep and you wouldn't be able to do that or something. We had to work it out. But the best way to do it is if you find stuff, you take that longsword, and so let's say you don't want to learn how to use it. You go sell that. You sell it for 1,000 gold or 5,000 gold, or if it's, say it's a +3 longsword, it might be 20,000 gold that you could sell it for. Everybody can pay for their training, and everybody splits up that experience, right? But if you learn how to use it in combat, you just get the experience for learning how to use it, and it goes directly, immediately to your total. Not, you have to go through this whole rigmarole of trying to find a way to sell it. Right, because it isn't easy. Like, if you want to sell a magical sword, that's not an easy thing to do. You have to find somebody that buys magical swords. And that's big money. Like, a gold piece is quite a bit of money. Tens of thousands of gold pieces is a ton of money. And
put it in perspective, Xavier has a +4/+4 sword. He paid 39,000 gold for it.
Yeah, and that was a bargain.
Yeah, and that was...
So, right, anyway, so that's the thing. Bargain. So when you kill monsters, think about, do they have treasure? Can we collect the treasure? That's going to add to your experience total. Okay? And then role-playing in this group, I'm giving everybody high role-playing marks right now. Keep thinking about it. I'm going to suggest some things, like specific things for characters that you can do to, like, for example, like, solve problems the way your character normally would do that. Like the clerics and the elves in the party using missile fire, using spells, that's exactly what you would do. That's how you do things, right? Charging up into combat, not so much.
Oh boy,
for them. Right? You're strong. So you're gonna be a melee fighter and then cross over, like when you bring your bow into point blank, as far as damage potential is party, Lotus has the greatest damage potential currently.
You did 32 damage.
Two shots, 32. That's
extremely
huge.
Good.
So, really? Like a fifth, sixth level fighter is rarely going to have more than 30
so
points.
So at least, level up to the other things?
The stats. See, the only stats that go up is if, like, you have bodybuilding, or in your case, you have lifetime learner,
like,
so your intelligence can go up.
They
they don't go up. Okay. Now, you might be able to find a way to enhance them magically. Yeah, that's what that lifetime learner thing is for you. You study your book every day, and your intelligence will go up as you go up levels.
Okay.
Not wisdom.
Okay.
So there is a specific skill that allows people to increase their wisdom, but all of those skills take
a
skill cost, you have to pay for it, and they take time. Like, you're specialized with your bow. You actually have to, if you don't get in combat for a whole day, you have to practice for 2 hours with your bow to keep that skill. And you have to read your book for 2 hours. So if you didn't have to memorize spells or do anything else, and you're, like, say you're hanging out in town for a week, every day you have to spend 2 hours training, 2 hours in your book, and 2 hours training with your bow, just to keep your skills up. But if you get in combat, you fire your bow in combat 1 minute, that counts for the 2 hours.
Oh, awesome.
So that's why people who have a lot of weapon skill go around looking for a fight. So right now the outsiders party, they were staying in an inn and everything was fine, and they saw a dog out of the inn, and one of the characters goes, well, let's go just see where it went. And his whole thinking was maybe they could get into just a little bit of trouble so they could fight, so they wouldn't have to train with their weapons. So they went hunting this dog down. So now that was in real life, that was almost 3 months ago. The last 5 sessions, they've been wrapped up in this big long plot that dog led them into, and they've been in like 5 fights, and they almost died several times, and it's been crazy all because they went out and they're in the wildlands, so it's really dangerous territory. There's tons of really, and they knew that They're like, well, we'll just go a little bit. Just do a little bit. And they did. And
it's always
not working out that way. Okay. Let's just go a little bit. Right now I'm giving everybody high role-playing experience marks. I would just encourage you to keep thinking about it. Like, who is your character? We've seen some things like people, whether you intended to or not, you did a good job of playing wisdom. Like, especially you guys were doing a good job playing like low wisdom and intelligence. I think that's, sometimes it's easier to play low wisdom intelligence than it is to play high. That's going to be harder for all of you guys that have high wisdoms. If you want to think creatively, think ahead. So, and if you need help, ask. Just go like, I have a 17 wisdom. What do I think? You know, what would work here?
Can I play my wisdom or can I play my intelligence?
Yeah, can I get help? Because it's really hard. A 15 intelligence, 150 IQ, and probably none of us have that. Right? So 150 IQ is like, right now there's a study that just came out. You've probably seen the memes on social media where people go like, the average IQ in America is 100 or something, and they take the IQ test and they dance and it shows their IQ. And the IQ test is not accurate, and I don't know that that's the right average, but it's funny. Anyway, it's the point. But the point is, not very many people have 150 IQ. So playing high intelligence is hard. Playing lower stats, like lower intelligence wisdom, that's actually fun and kind of easier.
Well, we put two brains together, so.
Yes, and you guys were, and it was a muscle situation. You solved it. That was another thing too. So if you have if you're something you're good at, you want to use that stat to solve your problem.
Right.
Don't try to like major in stuff that you suck at.
Right.
You know, like if that doesn't make sense, you've been, for your whole life, you've been solving things by strength and speed. That's what Lotus has been doing. And yes, she's a lifetime learner. She's going to get smarter as she goes, but she hasn't yet. So she's been solving everything by strength and speed for the longest time. So that's what you should be doing. That makes good sense. Okay. So I have a document. I think I was going to send it to you before and I never did. That talks about your girls, Iris and Hibiscus's deities. Once I give that to you, so when we play the next time, you can bring that stuff in to your decision-making process. It will, like, you can think, well, my God would want me to do this, right? We're not idol worshiping, it's nothing like that, but these are characters like that are priests of a different deity, and so you think, like, just like in real life, we say, what would Jesus want us to do? So Iris needs to say, well, what would, whichever one it is, Loda Huffy, for example, want me to do? You can look at your character what it is, but I have a little write-up for you of each one of them.
I don't have it.
Yeah, Gullin Bursty. Yeah, so yours is the giant warhorse. So your deity is the giant warhorse that serves Frey. It's Frey's horse. Frey is the god of the elves. His horse is intelligent, and you worship his horse. Eventually, you will have to transfer and worship Frey because Gullin Bursty is not that great. He's not that powerful. He's a horse. He's an intelligent super horse, but he's a horse. He's a super horse that's intelligent, more smart, probably smarter than most people, and also can teleport at will. So he's pretty cool. But
yeah, so cool.
But eventually you're gonna have to step up to Frey. No, he just disappears in one place and appears in another. Why would he need to fly?
Well, awesome.
Yeah, Pegasus are awesome. Yeah. And there are Pegasi in this game.
Good.
And people sometimes get them, ride them, own them, that kind of thing. So it's possible. Especially female characters. They don't usually let male characters very much.
Oh, good.
Okay. And then.
Are there griffins in this?
Yep. So, Anne is being the solo character, the solo cleric, that's going to be all the more important. So your deity is Skirnir, who's the shield man of Frey. He's an actual person, right? Not like a horse or a golden boar. And he's pretty powerful. And his thing is, if you look at your character sheet under your shield skills, your thing is like, you can protect people. You can protect yourself, but you can protect other people really, really well. So bear that in mind that he is a shield man. That's what he is.
Where do you see that, Nate?
Deity's on the top up there. In the middle, top middle, slightly to the right in the top box.
A deity.
You should say deity. But, like, Lotus is not real religious. So it's not going to be as big a deal for you. It's the clerics, because that's where they get their spells from. That's where they get their abilities in. That's who they pronounce their blessings by, that kind of thing.
I get it.
So one of the abilities that Skirnir gives you that will get really important in time is you can use your shield to reduce combat damage that's directed against you. So you haven't hardly been in upfront combat at all. But if you're fighting somebody with a sword, you can actually reduce their damage against you with your shield, which is a thing that most people can't do. Normal shields just make you harder to hit, but you can actually reduce their damage against you, and the higher level you get, the more you can do it. Like, you'll eventually get to the point where a normal person just couldn't hurt you with a sword. It's just not possible, as long as you have your shield between you and them. It's really a cool ability. So that's it. So think about, like, in this party, for example, Lotus is a great bowman. So as long as she can use her bow, she's going to be devastating against the enemy. Okay? So you could get in front of her with your shield, protect her. She can still fire the bow, and the stuff that's coming at you, you could defend yourself and also defend her. Does that make sense? So your that shield ability that you have, or let's say if Hibiscus or Iris want to cast a spell, maybe they're going to cast healing and combat is still going on, or they're going to cast some other kind of spell, you can get in front of them when they try to cast and use your shield to protect you and them. And that's the special ability that you get being a follower of Skirnir. Eventually you will have to step up from Skirnir to Frey also, because even though he's awesome, he's more awesome than a horse or a golden boar, because that's what she worships, right? He's awesome. He's better than either one of those two. He's still not powerful enough to give you the big spells that you're eventually going to be capable of. Eventually, if you play the character long enough, for example, you can rain fire down from the sky that will destroy buildings. You can, even at a low level, you cast a whole person that will freeze people in place. There's all kinds of things like that.
Whole person is
as a cleric.
That is such a good spell.
Her clan, does that belong to the clan itself? Like us?
What do you mean the clan?
So we're together.
Yeah.
Like a clan.
She's going to protect you with
okay,
those spells.
Okay, so we wouldn't
yeah.
be burning from.
Well, if you're inside the burning, it's called flame strike. When she gets higher level, if you're inside that, it would hit you.
Oh, well, I try to see.
And it's really
like when mages get fireball. Like when a mage
they tend
fireball,
to accidentally blow people
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be careful where you place the fireball because it will injure your party.
Yeah. There are some spells that are selected. Like on a whole person, for example, she can pick up to three people and hold them, and she can choose not to do her friends, obviously, once she has the ability. All three of them will be able to do it. It's going to be a little slower for Iris and Hibiscus because they're not a straight cleric. So it's going to take them a little longer to get to the higher level spells, but their thief spells are going to keep getting better too. Or thief skills, I mean, are going to keep getting better.
So she may level up.
She's gonna probably level up faster, yeah. As a straight cleric, because she's not gonna be dividing her experience. Like the experience I'm about to give you right now is probably enough to make her a second level cleric, but I don't think anyone else will make second level. Because everybody's gotta divide it three ways. Okay, so then there's one more factor in experience as I give you the total. So if you're the class in question, you have a 15 or higher in the necessary stat. So for example, for the fighter, that's strength. So if you have a 15 iron strength, which you do, you get an extra 10% added to your experience. And then assassin, it's dex. So do you have a 15 dex? I think no.
It's 13.
Yeah, so you will not get the extra 10% on your assassin. So you would get it on your fighter. You will not get it on your mage, because you're so far from a 15 intelligence. And then dex of 15 or better, so you would get it on your thief. So basically your fighter and your thief are going to get an extra 10% every time, but your mage is not. Okay? So that's how that works. And then, same thing over here. So Natalie, you're going to get the 10% on your cleric, but not on your thief, right? And then you're going to get it on your cleric and your thief, and she's going to get it on her cleric. So that's the last part. Alright, so here's the numbers. Everybody ready? Okay, this takes into account everything that I just said. So role-playing experience is in there.
What?
And I can tell you what your number is on that. Okay, so we're going to write, so Chris, the experience, so the total that I have, so this is before splitting it in half and before 10%, is 2429. Okay, so you split that in half, which means you're going to get 12-15 to each class. So you just put 12-15 and then 12-15. So you have to keep it separate the whole time you're playing the character. You have two numbers. Okay, and then you're going to get 10% on your fighter, which is an extra 122. There you go. And then you can add that up, and that's what you've got. And I'll tell you how close you are when we're done. Okay, Holly, same number, 24-29. I gave both of you guys 0.25, which is the max for role-playing experience.
Okay.
24-29. So yours is going to divide three ways.
Oh, 4.
Yep. So you're going to have 810 in each of your classes. Each class has 810. And then you're going to add...
The
10%. The 10%. So you're going to get 81 onto your fighter and your thief.
So it will be 891
for fighter, 810 for mage, and 891 for thief.
Okay, so we just add them all up? Or?
That's, they have to stay separate. So it's 810, 891, and 891. That's what you have. Okay. So your 810 for your mage will go on the mage chart, and when you get to the right number, you'll go to second level mage.
Cool.
That 891 for thief goes on your thief chart. When you get there, thief will go up fastest for you.
So
you're close already.
Yeah, so you just level up pretty quick.
Yep. So you're always going to have to keep those three numbers separate.
So
okay.
Those three numbers would
be Natalie.
Okay.
2332.
So.
Okay. So yours is divided in half. So it's going to be, what is that? 1166. So each class gets 1166. And Haley, yours is the same. Each class is going to be 1166.
Wait, where do you put this?
So you can actually
the box right there on the left. But cleric 1166, thief 1166.
That you
only. Okay, and then you're going to get 10%.
That is all you need.
You get 10% on your cleric, but not on your thief.
Then once you get
so you're going to add another 112.
I think is like 1,251.
On your cleric side. And then so Haley, you get 112 on both.
What about
the fire?
So
I think they're the same.
You just add it in if you want now. Just increase that number by 112.
Okay. So almost.
So you were at 11. What did I say? 1166 plus 112. So it'd be 1278.
I've been
so both classes are at 1278.
I was. It took me.
That might be enough for a thief. That's really close. Super
two
close.
And a half. I think it's 1251 for a thief.
1251.
Yeah. I have it on my character sheet.
What did we just say it was?
1276.
12 what?
1278.
So she made second level thief.
Who did?
Haley did. Nice. Thieves go up really fast.
Yeah,
so
thieves.
You almost. I mean,
fighter is the same as a thief, right? They have the same experience.
No, fighters are more than thieves.
So,
they are more than a thief.
Hold on, we'll do it in a second. Okay, Hannah. We get all the numbers out there first. Okay, so Hannah's 2313.
Well, say we get, you get that same number, you just add it to this.
Okay, and then you get 10% on that, so you add 231, which would make it 25.
Do I get a bonus?
43.
You should have a bonus
for
your fighter.
Yeah,
fighter. Yeah, you added the 10%.
Yeah, that's it. Right. We did that. Yeah, we did it. Yep.
So
okay, so now we'll check and see where people are at. So you can compare your number in your class to this, okay? So fighters need 2,001 experience to become second level. Okay, so you're halfway, roughly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for a fighter.
Yep. What are you at?
With the 10%.
Yeah.
1337.
Yeah, so you need 700 more, roughly, a little less than 700. Okay. So basically, the next time we get experience, you're going to make the level, both of you, probably. It'll be close for Holly. It depends on how much experience it is. Because she's dividing it three ways. Okay, and then, alright, so we've got mages need 2501.
Wow, I'm far from that.
Yeah, so you're only a third of the way there.
Sorry, barbarians are worse. Barbarians level up very slow.
Really?
Okay,
but they get
thieves
it.
Are 1250.
Too far.
Yeah, so you're close. So Haley made that. Did you make it?
Yeah.
You made 1250.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are both going to be considered second level thieves. So what that means is, right now you get a little bit more hit points, and that's it. Okay. So once you train for your level, then you get better in all of your skills. All of your thief skills.
You,
you're going to have to find somebody because you can't train each other because you're all the same levels. You're going to have to find somebody that you can pay. They have to be at least two levels higher than you in that ability.
Will they be able to train me?
No, not unless they're at least two levels higher than you.
Okay.
So eventually they will. That means eventually these two will be able to train you because you're going
to
be slower than
be
them coming
drive,
up.
Though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Family
so hit points
yeah,
first.
Right.
So Natalie, your character's at full hit points right now, right?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and we'll do it anyway. Normally you would add on to your max, but you don't heal to get there, but we'll just do it for now just because. So you're going to roll a d6 for your thief and divide it in two.
6.
You rolled a 6, so you're going to add 3 hit points. And you can just go ahead and put yourself at max, and that's your new max. So you were, what was your max previously?
6.
So now you have a max of 9, and you can put it at 9. So we'll just say you're 4 points. Okay, and then Haley, you got to do the same thing. So your thief is going to be a D6 divided by 2. Because you always roll all the different types of dice, and you're not rolling your cleric dice yet, you're just rolling your thief.
What was mine? I can do everything else, but what was mine?
You got a 5.
You rolled a 5? Okay, so you're going to get 3 hit points onto your max. Okay, illusionist is 2250.
Yeah, I got that. What was the total experience I got?
Oh.
Yeah, I can do everything else, so okay, you can help them. I know how to do everything else.
24, 29. Okay, so the clerics then.
Oh, you know what? I do get the 10% for illusionist and thief, because I have 18.
Yep.
And then 18 dex, so.
Yep. Okay, so clerics need 1500 to go up to second level. So, I don't, probably neither one of you are quite there.
Are you? Nope. Hannah?
But Hannah is. So you'll be considered a second level cleric, but you have to get training to actually get the second level abilities, but you get your hit points right now. So that means you get D8 more hit points. So roll a D8. The one dice that she doesn't have, of course.
What was it again? 24. 29. 24,
29. 3. Okay, so you add 3 to your total max hit points.
So if you have a half
that number, could have been better.
If you divide it in half.
Okay.
You round up. Or
at 0.5.
At 0.5, you round up. Okay.
Okay. Does anybody have a con bonus that went up a level? So all three of you went up a level. Do you have a con bonus? What's your con?
16.
So you actually got 2 additional hit points as well from your con right now. You won't get them when you get your cleric level, but you get them right now. So your 2 is, your max is 2 higher. So you're actually 11. So she's like up there now. She's got almost the most hit points in the party. What's your con? Constitution? 7? Is that what you said? Okay, let's tell us. Do you get a negative? Does it say -1 under hit point adjustment? It might.
I don't think it.
No. If your con was 6, you would actually get -1 hit points per level, but you're fine.
Wow!
No, you're fine.
Yeah,
it doesn't. So, and then Haley, what's your con?
11.
Okay, so you don't even. So what's your max hit points?
9.
You have the highest max hit points in the party now.
So if we need an assassin, it'd be the same as
the... Oh, no, it's a separate chart. Let's check it real quick.
So to make sure I'm doing this right, so I get 10% for my illusion, 10% for my team. So that means they're...
Assassin's 1500.
So they should be the same, well, then, right?
It's even nothing.
You're like, close.
Like, is that...
Nope.
Like, there isn't a bonus or anything for it.
So my experience on both of my classes should be the exact same.
So you need really 500 because it's going to be split in half. Should be the same?
Yeah, my experience should be the same since I get the bonus, since I divide
it. Oh, yeah, half. Yeah. Okay, divide in half, add 10%. Okay. Or you could add 10% and divide in half. Either way,
because
they both get 10%.
Oh, yeah. So then
it really only matters which class gets the 10% if you don't... If you have 10% in one class and don't have it in another. So like you have 2 that have 10% but one that doesn't.
Perhaps you'd like to write for Low Moon Adventures. The Prince Albert series on Kindle is a short story series where you can write your own based on our prompts and donate them or donate half their profit to the ministry.
So, it's going to be a long time before you get a 15 intelligence. That's probably not going to happen anytime soon.
No.
So. Okay, so that's how that's done. I'm going to give her a D8, and then I have a prop that I want that you all can see before for your
thief.
Okay, so divided by 2.
Yeah, which would be
roll
6.
Oh, nice. Yeah, 3 hit points.
3. So I get 5. Hey, I have 11 hit points.
You know, I have like 5 colors to choose from. I think.
Hannah.
Me and Hibiscus are tied for the highest hit points. Because
no.
Now I have 11.
I will be knocked out every time I get hit.
So the cool thing also that you guys might find a lot more fun to play is if you add little character traits to your character. Like one of I have a list of 20 things about this character that are just specific. Like, for instance, the sandal thing. He has a
very dislike for feet, so his feet are always covered. So he doesn't wear sandals. He doesn't like feet. And the other thing is he really likes books. So that's why even though he can't read, none of you guys would know that, but he can't read that book because it's written in a language he doesn't know, but he still reads books.
I tried to show you them and it fell on your lap.
The other character trait that he has was kind of displayed in the combat. If he's essentially useless in combat, he'll just cheer the party on.
Those are the rings that your these are the handles. Those are the rings that your dad gave you to take.
Put in my miscellaneous information. She checks for traps.
Oh yeah. Different
like one of Xavier's funniest character traits that took the party quite a while to figure out, and I've had it this way since I started playing the character, is he has his sword out at some of the most random moments. Like he is almost constantly walking around with the sword drawn.
What? Why?
Just that's how he is. He's a character that was literally since he could walk. Has had a long sword in his hand. He was born to fight, and that's his whole thing. So, when I generated the character, one of his character traits is he walks around in uncommon places with his sword drawn.
What color you like?
And it's gotten him in trouble a couple times.
Same color or a different color?
Walking around the city, he'll have his sword out.
Yep.
And two of those you want to point
and out. It's gotten him in trouble a couple of times because there's, like, for instance, there's some cities that's very frowned upon. Like, when we went to Geoff for the first time, he didn't know this because he had never been there. So he walked around and he had his sword out. And he ended up getting in trouble for it.
That color sort of issue.
He almost actually got, if I'm not mistaken, I think he almost got thrown in jail for it. For carrying his sword around in the city.
Here, put this one in there.
No.
For carrying it drawn in the city. Because okay. I've never been to the city, so I didn't know.
Clerics do need D8s, though.
And he's...
That's a thing. The flame strike that they do does 1d8 per level of damage.
Oh, wow.
So you roll a lot of them, and you roll healing all the time. Okay. So I think this is good. What I was leaning toward as far as stabilizing this was, I think we had it on the first Saturday daytime of each month. So when you get a second, look at your calendar, see how that works. If it works for you, then it's cool. I have like a low moon calendar to keep track of everything. We could just invite you to that calendar so you can see what the dates are too.
Okay.
And so then we would play 3 for 2. Because we would go
really
to
interesting and more fun.
We would
play.
Go
Things
to.
Character
it would always
like
be the
that.
First Saturday.
You don't have to tell anybody
like the
that that's what
Saturday.
Is.
I have
like,
awesome origins.
The
night. So we would play in the evening on like
I was playing with
every
that
other month on the fourth Saturday.
Half
it would be on the calendar. Is the point. So I can share the calendar with you or have Sherry do it. And then
nobody
like that. That'll work.
I think it was Brunson.
The only thing I didn't do was should have sent that.
I think it was actually we had not long after he found out.
Also, at some point in time, if we want to make copies of these, so you guys can just keep them, because sometimes it's good if you have the church at home so you can familiarize yourself where things are located and so on.
Yeah, that's kind of what takes a little bit of time.
Well, we're getting used to it. Right. I mean, it's a work in progress.
I don't know if any of you guys have.
I definitely put in my character's traits that he checks traps now.
Joe, based on his wisdom, it should be a trait that says he knows he should check for traps.
He might forget sometimes,
yeah.
But, you know.
You could theoretically put any kind of character trait as long as it fits with your character.
Exactly. Whatever, and you have to be careful because what you put on there is what you're going to roleplay. So let's say if you say your character, you know, overeats every time they eat, well then in about 6 months your character's going to be obese because you have to roleplay that, right? Or if you say, my character hates men. Well, then every time you see a man, you have to attack them or something. So be careful about what you put down. Yeah. But you put down anything that you think you want to play.
My character beat that.
Okay, here's the document.
Just like I said, I very vividly remember it because it was our first time. It was Xavier's first time going to GOP. He almost got thrown in jail for having the sword out.
Your character practiced with her bow every day. And also reads her book every day.
Another really interesting character trait that I like about
Umbar someday
is he's got little scraps of wood, which I put in my bag, little scraps of wood from that nest, because he's got a set of carving knives and he carves little figurines that he gives people for gifts. Like when he first met you guys, he gave you each that little figurine.
Yeah, turtle. Yep.
Yeah, little. They're like 2 inches tall. They're little figurines. Yeah,
I think I wrote it down.
Mine's like a cow.
Yeah, but that's something he does. He'll sit there and just start carving little figurines.
Little figurine.
Mostly because he's a very chaotic character, so he has to keep his mind working. So he's got to be doing something. He's like ADD times 10. Like, he's got to be doing something. He's not the type of character that's just going to sit around and do nothing.
Like,
he will find things to do.
Yeah. Like, run away from fights.
Which I'm afraid of, because that might get him into some trouble.
Yeah, these are interesting characters. I really think we can see the relationships developing and stuff in the party. It's kind of cool because you're starting to.
You guys got this.
Who's gonna go first? Who's gonna go last? It definitely seems like the idea is Nick is the brute force, and everybody else is shooting whoever he's fighting. That seems to be the tendency at the moment.
We'll take care of it. We'll be back here waiting.
Also, it'll be important that you'll go first more often when he's wounded and stuff like that. You can definitely see that. They're going to get a little. There should be a little less falling unconscious going on now because they're getting a little more hit points.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.